Hello, I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and you come to me for hard facts. The world keeps turning, and you're trying to keep up.
The fight against coronavirus has the Oxford.
But there's so much noise drowning out the news. Talking heads, broadcast messages, press releases. They're telling you their side, but you just want the facts. And that's why you come to me. I give you the statistics without spin.
Out of 116 million working age Nigerians, 35.5 million are employed full time. That's 30%.
I give you the context.
I give you the history.
I fight fake news with facts.
Kayode.
Let me talk.
No, Kayode, I will let you talk. Kayode. Kayode, I will let you talk if you let me talk. Kayode.
That's why more and more Lagosians are tuning in. 500,000 Lagosians.
720,000.
970,000. Over 1 million Lagosians say no. That if you give me your afternoon, I will give you hard facts.
Well done, Sandra, and all you do. Going beyond the headlines and focusing on the facts.
I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
Hello, Lagos. Good afternoon. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts. First hard fact of the day, 267 new confirmed COVID cases over the weekend nationwide. 30 cases in Lagos. So we have to remain vigilant. You have to remember, of course, that people are not testing as much as they should, which means that you could meet someone who has this virus and not know that you've met someone who has this virus. All you can do is take your precautions. Limit your movement outside. Wear a mask when you go out. Keep your distance from people when you can. Wash and sanitize your hands as frequently as possible. That way we are all doing all we can until as many people as possible get vaccinated, which is our second hard fact of the day, by the way. Phase two of COVID vaccinations is ongoing. If you have not gotten your jabs yet, make arrangements to do so. Go to the website, register, then go to the healthcare center where you registered and get your first dose. If you've gotten your first dose, remember that you don't have full protection until you get both doses. So go back to where you got the first one and get the second. All right? The second dose at the same primary healthcare center where you got the first. And thank you for making this show the number one current affairs show in Lagos. I have a great show for you today, starting with the big weekend. We'll talk about the Anambra Gubernatorial elections. Then we'll talk about the latest rescue efforts from Gerard Road building collapse. And then at 4 o'clock, the I Beg to Differ tournament will be live. I know, I'm excited. We're going to have one round of 16 debates for you, featuring four of the sharpest students in Lagos. I'm super excited. Remember, these 16 children are competing to win 1 million naira. You see why I always say that 1 million Lagosians cannot be wrong? Which other show is allowing children win 1 million in scholarship money? I'll wait. So make sure you're here at 4 o'clock when we have two students debate each other right here on the show. On the big hard fact, let's talk about house rent. Should government enforce monthly rent payment on the industry? Do you think that that could work? How would that work? What possible effects could that have? Now, as usual, we're going to bring you all the latest updates every hour on the hour. Conversations with Rufai will take over after I'm done at 6 o'clock. And then, of course, the Sports Gang will be here from 7 to bring you all the latest in the world of sports. Now, I cannot go on until I say thank you to Sean Okuyemi. Sean saw me saying on social media that I didn't know where I could buy good meat pie. You know, meat pie like those olden days ones where you see it to be sweating, or not, well, not sweating, but just shiny from some of the butter, and then to be cracked, you know, from the things that are inside it. These days it's just flour and potato, you know. So I was asking, well, where can I buy that kind of meat pie in Lagos? And Sean said, you don't need to buy, I can make and deliver to you in your house. And he did. So thank you so much, Sean. The delivery guy has come. I've collected the meat pie. I can't wait to dig in after the show. Thank you to my fans. They're so amazing. Always wanting to take care of me. Okay, let's get right into today's big weekend. Like I said, Lagos, I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
The big weekend.
Has INEC performed well in Anambra? Do you think they have? How have they performed in Anambra? How's the rescue effort going in Ikoyi? It was a big weekend. Lagos, let's talk about it. The Anambra Gubernatorial election will be inconclusive until at least Tuesday. That's when INEC has scheduled a supplementary election in Ihiala local government. Professor Florence Obi, the returning officer, said that there was no election in Ihiala over fears of insecurity. INEC has announced results from other local government areas, but they cannot announce a winner until the Ihiala election is done, because the number of outstanding votes in Ihiala is higher than the margin between the election leader and the other contenders. So it's like, what's an example I can give you now so you understand it? It's like in football. Even if someone is on top of the league table, you can't announce them the winner if another club can get enough points from the remaining matches to catch them. And remember, it's happened before during the Kano Guba elections in 2019. Governor Ganduje was behind, but some local governments had inconclusive results. And by the time INEC conducted supplementary elections there, Ganduje ended up winning. Now, apart from Ihiala, another big story from the election this weekend was the turnout. Now, here are some hard facts for you. INEC says there were 237,362 votes cast across the state, apart from Ihiala. But Anambra has more than 2.5 million registered voters, also according to INEC. So that means the voter turnout has so far been less than 10%. We talked about this on Thursday, last week Thursday. I brought you a survey by SBM Intelligence, which showed over 60% of registered voters were not willing to vote. And it turns out that that number was even higher, because SBM's survey pointed to a lot of reasons. The biggest one was fear of IPOB. Remember that there were multiple reports that IPOB wanted people to sit at home on election day, even though IPOB came out and said, no, we didn't ask anyone to sit at home on election day. A lot of Anambra people were scared that the group will try to enforce the warning with violence. But right before the election, the group, you know, said it never gave such an order. But judging by the turnout figures, I'm guessing that people had their doubts. Less than 10%. Apart from IPOB, the next biggest reason given by that survey that we took a look at last week Thursday was a loss of faith in the system. And I talked to SBM's lead analyst about that, Confidence McHarry. He said that this thing is a general problem. The loss of faith is a general problem nationwide. It's a trend that they've been seeing in each successive election. Basically, Nigerians appear to be disappointed that democratic governance has not brought all the dividends they expected. And so they are participating less and less, which is a great, you know, it's a great thing that you were having that conversation with Liboros Oshoma before I joined the show, because he was letting people see that if you don't participate, anything you see, take it like that. Because it may create a vicious cycle where, because people participate less, the elected officials feel less pressure to perform. What do you think? INEC also had some technical problems on Saturday, which may have depressed the vote. There were multiple reports of accreditation problems. In a lot of polling units, accreditation was delayed for hours because of machine failures. Some analysts believe that this led to voters going home because they couldn't wait any longer. So INEC has been under fire for the last couple of days. After all, this is, what, the 22nd year of the Fourth Republic? A lot of Nigerians are asking, well, why should INEC still be having technical failures with accreditation? What's up with that? But I should note that there were no reports of failure of the electronic transmission system. None. That one went very smoothly. But what do you think was behind the low turnout in Anambra? How would you rate INEC's conduct of election in that place? What do you think about the need to move the election in Ihiala to tomorrow? Women, call us on 01465-7190. Men, call us on 0700-993-993-993. Women, call us on 01465-7190. 01465-7190. Hello, thank you very much for calling us.
Hello.
Hello, what's your name, sir?
Yeah, my name is Agwuma.
Agwuma, welcome.
Thank you.
Good to have you on the show.
Yeah, I commend the effort of the security agents, the INEC officials, and even the observers. They did very good work in Anambra. What we expected didn't come to pass, even though there were hitches. But I think as we go forward, some of these things can be corrected. But on the other hand, we are talking about election party. The truth is that most of the time we have problem in going to our polling booths because when security agents are given the instruction of movement restriction, they go to the extreme.
Okay.
They don't take discretional response to some of these things. I have not voted for about 2 elections. The reason is that where I have registered, I cannot walk to that place. And most people register in close to the offices. But on election day, these restrictions are brought to bear, and then you say no movement. Whereas the candidates, the officials, they are all moving with their security to their different places of voting.
Right.
But that is not made comfortable for other people. So that is why a lot of people don't vote. Not necessarily they are not willing to go and cast their votes. Thank you,
Agwuma. What do you think about the points Agwuma made? Because, you know, some analysts will tell you that, you know, one thing that they've learned from Edo and from Anambra elections is that votes actually count. The votes actually count. Yes, they can snatch the ballot boxes here and there. They may influence court processes. But in general, the more people come out to vote and protect those votes, the more difficult it is to entirely rig an election. So can things like maybe freeing up the ability of people to go to their polling centers and vote, maybe drive there if they can't walk there, could things like that encourage voter turnout? What do you think? 01465-7190 if you're a woman. If you're a man, 0700-993-993-993. Don't forget that we have the secondary school students debating live on air today at 4 o'clock. They'll do the same thing tomorrow. They'll do the same thing on Wednesday. They'll do the same thing on Thursday. So make sure that you're here and you're part of that conversation. 99.3, hello. Hello. Thank you for calling. What's your name?
David is the name.
David, good to have you on the show.
Yes.
You're live on air. Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon, David.
Yes, okay. So, I want to make my own contribution.
Yes, go ahead.
One of the main issues that we have with people not being able to vote, like the last caller talked about distance of polling units from where they stay. I also had a problem. The last election cycle, I started my transfer process in January 2018.
Okay.
And up until the 2019 election, my card had not been transferred from Kaduna State to Lagos State. So you can imagine how many times I had gone there, how many times I had written, how many times I had pushed, because I really wanted
to vote. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I was disenfranchised. Then somebody comes around and says, I don't have a voice because I did not. Whose fault was it that I did not vote? Wasn't mine, certainly. So we have to make the process seamless. This time around, I've applied. the first week they opened the CVR, yeah. I applied.
Fantastic.
Let me see what's going to happen.
Okay, all right.
Let me see what's going to happen.
Fingers crossed, David. I really hope that it works out for you because I'd love for you to vote. 99.3, hello. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. What's
good
your
afternoon.
Name? Good afternoon. What's your name, ma'am?
All right. My awesome.
Ooh, good to have you on the show. Can you turn your radio off for me, please?
Okay, okay.
All right, go ahead.
Trying to do that. All right. Is it okay now?
Yes, go ahead.
All right. Okay, I just want to respond to what the man that called the other time about allowing people to move during election phase. One, it poses a lot of security threat.
Okay.
In the sense that the loss of time, they move. I mean, to be easy for people that snatch ballot boxes and people that will disrupt election processes, move their ammunition and all that. Then, if they allow people to move, a lot of people will not vote. Market women will go to their market, and people that are like myself, that are business owners, will come to our business. Do you understand? People will not really be interested. And besides that, you are supposed to control your environment when you want to vote. So if I decide I'm from Anambra now and I will need to control what is happening in Anambra, I need to go to Anambra before the election day and then ensure that I enfranchise my... exercise my franchise there.
Right.
So wherever you are staying is your environment. You should control that place. So people should stay at home during the election. They should not be allowed to move for security and for seriousness of the exercise.
Okay. All right, Mayowa. Thank you very much for calling. Do you agree with Mayowa? Especially because in other parts of the world, election is not a disruptive exercise. Business is going on while elections are going on. So as I do on air now, if I get small break, 15 minutes, I'll just go downstairs to the nearest voting center and just vote there and come back and continue my show. Same thing for people who work in banks, for people who are security officers, police officers, etc., etc. Life goes on while election is going on. So do they have two heads there? You know, this is just, you know, for not, I'm not addressing the possibility of security deteriorating now. I'm addressing the possibility of people not actually voting. They just got to open their shop and open their businesses. Hey, what's wrong with that? Because in other parts of the world, that's how elections happen. They go and open their shops and the businesses and life goes on while they're voting. Do they have two heads? Because this no movement thing is really a carryover from military days, though. It's carryover from the military era. So should election really disrupt life, or should it just be a part of what we do? Or do you think we're not mature enough for that yet? 99.3, hello. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. 99.3.
Hello.
Hello, what's your name?
Good evening, ma'am. My name is Precious. I'm calling from Jubo.
Welcome, Precious.
Please, ma'am, I'm not calling because of the vote. I want to make a request, please.
Okay, stay on the line. Let your the call screener take your request, okay? Let's take it off air. 99.3, hello.
Hello, President Sandra.
Good to have you on the show, sir. What's your name?
My name is Godwin.
All right,
I'm
Godwin.
Calling from Lekki.
Welcome, Godwin.
Yeah, this is a first-time caller.
I'm glad you called today. Welcome.
Yeah, I have been trying to reach you, but, you know, 1 million negotiations... I've taken over.
You're one of them. Welcome.
Yeah. Mm. Concerning the election that took place in Anambra State, I think the INEC should really check and still go back and check their action or whatever they took that very day. Because if they are telling us that they have to schedule the dates to run the election again. I think it is not actually right.
Okay.
Are you with me?
I'm with you. Mm-hmm.
Because this same particular, similar things happen in Kano, as you have said earlier. Mm. And at the end of the day, the sitting governor has been declared as a winner again.
Right.
So they are trying to repeat this same thing. I think we youth need to rise up and say no to all these excuses, electronic machines is not working, service network failure, all that. before the election, they need to fix all these things appropriately. They should not be playing with Nigerians like this.
All right.
And again, every Nigerian has a right to go on with his businesses on the election day. You just give yourself some few minutes, go and vote, come back and continue with your business. What does that affect to shut down the whole state? No move, no opening of the shop, no open of this. I think, honestly, Nigeria is getting somewhere that if we didn't rise up now, we cannot able to control it again. So it's the right time for us. Before this 2023, we should wake up. We youth, I'm calling all the Nigerian youths, please. We should not be fold our hands, be watching or listening to radio while we should not take action on this. Thank you.
All right, Godwin, thank you very much for calling. We appreciate it. 99.3, hello.
It's me, Adeshawa again. No.
Adeshawa, welcome.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ma. Good to have you on the show.
Yes.
Fine, thank you.
See, that that Anambra election, I think people were scared.
Okay.
But if we have put that being scared aside, I think they will have gotten a very good result by now.
Okay.
Because I don't see the election that took place there. Still, the statistics they've been saying since Saturday. I can see so many people were not asked to even do anything concerning election that day. Because some people were looking at it, that what if the accidental discharge of bullets now? Who are they going to hold? Nobody is going to. The military personnel, they put in an umbrella. It was just too much.
Okay.
Even that's enough to cause phobia for everybody. That's one. Then two, our youth. Nobody wants to release their children now. Nobody wants to even say this, but to me, we've done a very bad job by not even voting at all. Why? Because knowledge or what thing are we telling the younger ones that are coming up? That is, we are afraid to even choose our own leaders. Thank God.
Okay. You too, ma'am. Thank you so much for calling us. All right, let's take a look at some messages we have on WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. And Stevie the Janny King says, hope the Anambra Deputy Governor and all those in the House of Assembly that defected from ABGA to APC will know that it's not all that glitters that is gold. All their confusionist and bloodbath tactics failed them. They will lick their wounds. All right, Steve, thank you for your message. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. This is Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to your number one talk news and sports station. This is Nigeria Info.
It's 3:29. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, and rescue efforts in Ekoyi are still ongoing. So far, 44 people are confirmed dead with their bodies retrieved from the wreckage. Joining us to discuss the latest is Emmanuel Onwuka. Emmanuel, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Sandra.
Did you have time to get some rest this weekend, or did you spend all of that time following this story?
Well, I would say I had to balance both work and my life, you know. But yes, I couldn't take my mind off the story. I had to get as much information as we can about it, as it was updating even during the weekend.
Yeah. Now, the last time that you and I spoke about this was on Thursday at 3:00. I'm sure that so much has happened since then. Could you fill us in?
Yes, a lot of things have happened since then. You're aware that Lagos State Government has already given authorization to the family of the bereaved ones to actually be able to identify their loved ones at IDH at Yaba. I'm currently here at IDH right now, observing the identification process as it is ongoing right here.
Okay.
And also, you're also aware that six more persons, survivors, were actually discovered at the police hospital at Falomo. So I think you're also aware that 99% so far of the rescue operation has gone in, you know, 99% work has gone into that place, and the debris has been removed till about 99%. And they're hopeful that, you know, today the debris will be totally, you know, dealt with, and they would get to ground zero, you know, at the 21 building collapse at Ikoyi, at Gerard Road Ikoyi.
I see.
I think that's basically most of the things that happened. But I also like to know what you'd like to hear about.
So those are the headlines. Now let's talk about the process where you are at the moment. How is it being handled? How are family members able to recognize their loved ones who have been under that rubble for what I'm guessing is days?
Okay, so the family members have to just come to the IDH here. They identify themselves. They produce a picture of their loved one, and also a valid, you know, identity card of themselves.
Right.
You know, and then they submit it here, and then they are given a number and called accordingly. So one person from the family have to go into the morgue to identify the loved one. That the person, you know, that has to go in have to be able to identify the loved one, have to be someone that can identify the loved one very well, and the person has to be strong, because, you know, the emotions are not just, it's not allowed to have emotion run wild, you know, no matter how, you know, at the brink of emotion you are, you have to be strong to be able to go in there, observe, see the dead person, and actually come back in. A lot of people, while going in, while coming back, you know, actually sob, they cry. Some of them, you know, tear up. Some of them just look downcast, you know, at the end of the day when they come out and they're able to identify, you know, their loved one. The only situation we have right now is about one of the peculiar cases that we have that was given attention to by the Lagos State Governor, in case of a man, Mr. Godwin, whose son was is among those that were dead. But he has been to this morgue now. He said 16 bodies have so far been prepared, you know, for identification. And he has exhausted the 16 and he has not been able to find his son yet. So he's waiting for more bodies to be prepared for identification. Just like, you know, the Lagos State Governor had said that all corpses before identification have to undergo autopsy. Yeah. So they have to do the preparation and before the family members can come in to actually identify the corpse.
Right. You know, I want to take you back to the six persons you mentioned earlier. There was some controversy over, you know, when they survived. It turns out that there was a miscommunication over previously rescued survivors. Yes?
Yeah. There was a communication gap about the actual date in which the survivors were found. So what happened was that, you know, before you heard over the news and in some mediums that the response team got there at about 4 or 5-ish o'clock on that said day it happened, when the incident happened at about 1-2 o'clock. So between the hours of 1 to 4 o'clock, about 6 persons were rushed to the hospital. But it was not the government, you know, approved hospital. It was the closest hospital to them at the time. That was the police hospital at Falomo. They rushed them quickly to the hospital and had them there since that same day. But, you know, the information didn't come out that much. So the government rescue officers on ground moved the other survivors, the other 9 survivors that have been in the news for quite some time, moved the other 9 survivors to the General Hospital, Lagos General Hospital at the island, and had the 9 persons there, assuming that these 9 persons were the only survivors of the incident. But having a conversation with, I think the that was the Commissioner for Information. This same Mr. Godwin had a conversation there, and while he was having the conversation, he said something about he said something about he had gone to the police office, hospital at Falomo, and that some of the patients were there, and he said he saw one patient there, and he checked, and it wasn't his son. So he had brought out that information, you know, that there were other survivors aside those ones that were actually at the General Hospital at the island, at the Lagos Island. So I think that prompted the search for other survivors, and then it was discovered that 6 survivors had actually been taken to the police hospital at Falomo before, on the day of the incident, before the rescue officers took the other 9 to the hospital. So that makes it a total of 15. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when the Lagos State governor was saying it, some people just assumed from his statement that those three persons were rescued on the on Saturday, which was the day six of the incident, you know, and they just spread it on social media. I've seen many posts on social media. Yesterday, I was forced to call the commissioner for call the commissioner of information and strategy to actually clarify and have NEMA also clarify, which was aired in the news this morning. They had to clarify this so that members of the public don't go about with misinformation and start spreading.
But that raises the question: how well are the different agencies coordinating with each other?
Now, I think to an extent, it's right now, to an extent, everybody, the coordination seems to be, you know, a bit, there seems to be a little bit of communication gap because you have the federal and the state agencies actually here. And you know about the little uprising that happened over the some days back, you know, where the governor said that, oh, all the information has to be centralized and has to come from the Ministry of Information. You understand? So information has to be tailored. He has to follow one channel. It doesn't have to be two, whereby NEMA is giving one account and then the state government seems to be giving another account. You know, they have to have come to a consensus. They have to have one channel to actually disperse information. And I think that is actually the effort by the state government to have, you know, all the agencies work together and come up with one mindset to actually do the job together. You know, I think that is just it. You know, what we can see on ground here is that there seems to be a little bit discrepancy between the agencies, you know, and I think that was what actually caused this communication gap about these survivors, you know, claiming nine survivors, and then we found that there were six again, and then we had this misconception on social media and all the rest.
Now, I want to take you back to something you mentioned earlier on as well about the rescue mission getting almost to ground zero now. So does that mean that search and rescue efforts may end today?
Yeah, there's a possibility that search and rescue efforts may end today, because if they get to ground zero, that means they're done with the job, they're done with the rescue efforts. They've actually been able to recover all lost bodies and every possible survivor at the site of the collapse. Yes, you know, the Nigerian Army Engineering Corps actually came on board today.
Okay.
I met them there this morning. We saw that their manpower was on ground. They came with equipment as well to also assist the SEMA and NEMA that has been there all this while, you know, and the Nigerian Red Cross, you know, and other security agencies that have been there all this while. You know, they've been working to see how they can get much of the debris. Now, according to the rescue officials, 99% work has been done so far, meaning that it's just the 1% that they are trying to clear off. And if the Nigerian Army should come in today like they have done, it means that the work pace will be faster and they'll be able to get things done faster. And that is why there are hopes that by the end of today, they will be able to get to ground zero.
Okay.
Hello there.
Yes, I'm here. Hmm?
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Well, my final question, of course, is if, you know, the rescue personnel believe that they've combed the entire wreckage at this point and, you know, there's no hope of finding any more survivors or getting any more people out alive.
Okay, so on this very one now, I would just quote what the governor says, because, you know, the governor has the he's the one in front of this matter. So I'll just quote what he said. He said, the possibility is very slim. Okay. We know that there could be an 11th hour miracle for us to find somebody in that rubble come out alive days, almost 7 days after. But the chances are very slim. You know, one of the things that has given people hopes, the rescue officials hopes, all this while to keep pushing and to keep expecting that they were going to find survivors, was that they were hearing the sounds of people calling for help in the rubbles. But I think since Wednesday, we've not heard any such voice. All the rescue workers we've tried to speak to, we tried to ask them if they've heard any voice, anybody calling for help. They've not heard any voice since Wednesday. It means the chances have become very, 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 very thin. But hopefully, when they get to ground zero today, you know, they have to get to the second floor, they have to get to the third floor. You know, from analysis from, you know, the letter that was put out there by one of the companies that worked at that site, they had said that, you know, they had walked up to the fourth floor. So there was some measure of guarantee, there was some measure of hope that, okay, from the fourth floor, there would be not so much, compression, you know, in to get actually to people. That reminds me, I actually spoke with someone who survived, who was brought out on the second day of the search and rescue there. Okay. So he was the one that we heard his voice on Tuesday morning calling for help.
Oh.
And he was able to be found. Yes, he was found that later that day and brought out alive. There were two of them, and I spoke with one of them today because the other one had was you know, at that very point in time speaking Yoruba. I can't actually understand Yoruba fully, but I was able to speak to the other one who was able to talk to me in English language, and he told me how they felt, how he had prayed, how he had stayed on the ground, you know, for hours, and how the debris was actually just, you know, kept coming closer to him, and he was just praying and hopeful that, you know, he would be rescued. He said he heard our voices when we were trying to reassure him. He heard our voices when we were saying that help was coming his way. He should just hold on. And those voices that he heard was what gave him confidence to just continue, you know, striving and holding on to life, you know, before help finally came his way. He saw the excavator, you know, take a portion of the debris away from where he was lying down, and then they were able to finally bring him out from the place. He said he heard the sound of relief when he came out of there. So there's that possibility that there might be a little bit of hollow place where someone could hide, you know, where a survivor could hide and then would be found by the end of today, by the grace of God, you know. But it takes a miracle, like I said. It takes a miracle to have somebody come out from that place alive at this very point in time. It will be a breaking news that, you know, everybody will be so interested in, and everybody will, you know, we have a sign of relief. A lot of people online are really expecting that at least one more survivor will come out of that place. That is why a lot of persons ran with that story on Saturday that six persons actually survived it for 6 days. You know, it was a fake news that actually spread wide, that actually spread hope around, you know, to a lot of family members and a lot of persons who were still looking for their loved one in the rubbles.
Okay. Emmanuel, thank you so much for your time.
Hello?
Thank you for your time, Emmanuel.
Thank you so much, Sandra.
All right, Lagos, let's talk. Whew, okay. 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. If you're a woman, call us on that number. If you're a man, call us on 0700-993-993-993. We've got WhatsApp as well. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. If you would prefer to leave your thoughts to us on Facebook, Nigeria Info FM, that's our Facebook. If you are listening outside the country, please call us by Skype. Skype is Nigeria Info FM. You're listening to The Big Weekend on Hard Facts. On The Big Weekend, we bring you all the big stories that broke over the weekend, and we get your thoughts on those stories. Now, we've told you about the elections in Anambra, and now we've brought you updates from the rescue efforts in Ikoyi still ongoing. May end today. Comrade Ikechukwuna, Papa is on the line. Welcome, comrade.
Gozikwagi. Thank you. I greet all the Nigerians. Nigeria go better. Mm. What happened in Anambra was fear of the soldiers. The Anambra was militarized. Because, Sister Sandra, let me tell you, forget about how my voice is. If you bring Anambra soldiers for Anambra, I don't know, come out and vote. Number one. Number two, the Anambrarians and Igbos are very angry. They are very angry. Sister Sandra, I traveled 2 months ago. If you descend from Opi Weka, the whole road in Eastern is not good. What is the essence of them voting? So it's because of the fear of the military. There was too much heavy military in Anambra, east of Zamfara Forest, east of Niger State, east of Zamfara, because of elections. That's number one. Number two, concerning the fallen building. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Concerning the fallen building, I have been crying. The reason was fake cement, fake iron, heavy load from 15 to 21, and which the foundation is supposed to be 40 feet deep with big iron. The foundation that is supposed to carry that thing is supposed to be 40 feet deep, because I have an architect friend. Are you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how you will. During 1998, when we say we did school, when we say we go do small August break, Babu means missing cement, and you go collect 150, 200, they can do kind for school. If cement touch you for leg or your manhood, it will be like acid. But to that, cement will come be like ash. So how do you expect cement, what did they do now, to hold 21-story building? Because nobody to question. Because you gave one person license to be important. What do you expect? So I'm crying. Now, what I'm asking government to do now is that you see the family of those people that are bereaved, those people that died, their family. Mm. Make government give them 30 million. Make Nigeria stop asking me, say, people who don't die. If people who don't die, they don't get family. Make them give them the family. If I die tomorrow, make them give for my wife. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Comrade Ikechukwu, for calling us. Lagos, you've heard from Emmanuel Onwuka. Saturday, families were allowed to start identifying the bodies of their loved ones. If you remember, all of last week, Emmanuel was telling us that body identification was on hold. The rescue workers had simply been sending the bodies to the morgue. We talked to lots of family members who had been waiting for days to find out whether their loved ones were among the recovered dead or whether there was still some hope of rescue for some of those families. And for some of them, closure came this weekend. Our thoughts and prayers go out to all of them. And you heard from Emmanuel as well that rescue efforts may be suspended today. I want to know what you think about that. The building collapsed last week, Monday. So today makes it 1 week that victims have been under the rubble. Do you think that this is still too long to hope for survivors? Or do you think that the rescue teams should keep at it? And if you think they should keep at it, for how much longer? It's 3:48. Women, let's hear your voice. 01465-7190. Men, 0700-993-993-993. If you're abroad, Skype is what you should be calling. Skype is Nigeria Info FM. And yes, there's WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. 080-959-75805. Let's speak with Joseph. Hello, Joseph.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good to have you on the show.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, welcome.
My take is on the Anambra election.
Okay.
You know, INEC would have declared the Abga guy winner. My reason is that, you know, the law says that anybody that wants to be governor we win at least 2/3 majority of the state, right? Chukwuma has already won 17 states. Even if the other people, the vote from the remaining local government will cover, you know, the number of the vote.
Hmm.
There is no possibility that they will become governors because they can't win a 2/3 majority again. I think it's a waste of time for INEC to declare the election inconclusive again. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's take a look at some messages that we have online, okay? WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. Oluwatobi Aroba D says, my country is My story is the country lacks two major things, which are rescue teams and maintenance teams. We value no life in this country. I just pray we learn on time before it's too late. Oluwatobi, thank you for your message. Steve O'Ferry on Facebook says, I hope enough lessons have been learned by all those that were relying on federal might to capture the Southeast with the Anambra elections. You cannot be suppressing a people and expect them to believe and trust your party. It didn't work and will never work despite their bloodbath tactics. All right. Faith, thank you for your message. You're very kind. Those are very kind things to say. Thank you so much. Sandra, the rescuers did a terrible job. Do you know that on a blog, a lady called her family members for help under the rubble at about 10 p.m. that night, that she's weak and she needs help. But unfortunately, the rescuers had left that night, came back the following morning. Also, a man who lost his staff member said he left the building to pick something in his car. On returning back, he witnessed the building coming down. And that the building came down 2 p.m., but rescuers came 4 p.m. The Lagos Emergency Center did a bad job. We're not safe in this country. That's a message from Bayo. Bayo is in Ikeja. All right, we have a call from Anthony. Anthony, what country are you calling us from?
I'm calling you guys from New York.
Hi, welcome.
I'm calling from New York.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, I just want to talk about the lack of accountability.
Hmm.
You see, when you're setting up a building with 21 stories, you have to be very sure of the foundation.
Hmm.
Here in America, what they do is, at every level of construction, when the foundation is done, the building department, they come, inspect it, and make sure the foundation is good. Whatever thing we do in life, as long as the foundation is not good, it be it a human being or anything we do, the foundation must be right. You cannot set up a 21-story building and the foundation is just like whatever. It's sometimes I even wonder and say, it's even better it happened now than when it is occupied. Just imagine that building was occupied with people living in there. The disaster would have been worse than this. People at the Department of Building in Nigeria, what job do they really do? They just sit down in the office and do nothing and get paid at the end of the month. And every time they come complain, oh, their salary is not being paid, they don't do this, they don't. What do they do? What productivity, what service do they provide? Inspectors are supposed to go check the foundation. They build it to a certain level, they check it again. They build it to a certain level, they check it. They have to make sure even the cement that is being used, what's the texture of the cement? You just build things like, you just do things like you don't care. This is people's life you're messing with. It's really, really sad. They just do things like it doesn't matter. I saw the rubbles from the rail cage. The cement doesn't look like cement. The bricks where they were used, it doesn't even look like a brick that can hold a two-story building, talk less of a 21-story. We have to be responsible.
Anthony, thank you so much for calling us. Anthony Mafidon joining us from New York. Remember, if you're abroad, you can join the show via Skype. Skype is Nigeria Info FM. All right, Lagos, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll take your thoughts off of social media, Facebook, WhatsApp. So leave your thoughts for us there. And then, of course, at 4 o'clock, Firebrand, brilliant children right here debating the questions of today, all for a chance to win 1 million naira. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. Don't go away.
You are listening to your number one station for talk.
99.3 Nigeria Info.
Let's talk.
True love, they say, is hard to find.
Get away from me!
But what happens when the one you found is bound with complications?
No one can love the beast who slept with my sister in full view of anyone in this house, damn it!
Tune in to watch the brand new Africa Magic original, Dilemma, showing weekdays at 8 p.m. on Africa Magic Showcase, Channel 151 on DSTV.
Listening to your number one station for talk.
Your number one station for talk.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. We've got so many messages here. Sandra, we can't say people should not stay home during elections because we have not yet made the elections totally electronic. If we allow people to move around on election day, some people will vote in one station, then go and cause trouble in another polling station. Also, ballot snatching will increase astronomically, hence more inconclusive elections. All right, David, thank you very much for your message. Sandra, on the Anambra election, we in the South are said to be more educated than the rest of the country. Why do we have much more void votes in any general election than anywhere else? The number of void votes in the South is alarming. Well, education in the country, voter education especially, all over the country is terrible. I don't know why people like to say that about, I mean, that you're educated does not mean that you're educated about everything, you know? And it's very easy to have voided votes. If you've seen the bar, if you've seen an election voting paper, a ballot paper, you know that for some people it's very easy to match line. And once you match line, that's it, it's over. All right, let's take a look at more messages here. Of what use was the hundreds of thousands of security personnel when a flashpoint like Ihiala could not be secured for elections to take place? What they had in mind was not actually securing the place for election. It's only God that sets confusion in their midst. All right, Steve. Good afternoon, Sandra. My heart goes out to the families of those that lost their loved ones in that unfortunate incident on Gerald Road, Ikoyi. In Nigeria, we are always reactive to issues rather than being proactive. I hope the panel will do a thorough job in their investigation to unravel the mystery behind the collapse of that building. That's a message from Ikechi Okorafo. Wankwo sent a message and he says that he's so happy about the Anambra election outcome so far. He believes Abga should not be allowed to die as Peter Obi envisaged when he abandoned the party. But the vote buying reports also shows my bias. Also shows how biased Eastern people can be. Imagine if it was an APC state that is leading with vote buying allegations. Ha! You people holla, yet no one is talking about it now as if it is normal. Now, wow. Okay. Wankwo, thank you very much for your message. We've got more messages here. Eric says it's too painful that a lot of lives have been lost because of selfishness. And as far as the elections are concerned, I have decided not to vote anymore because our votes don't count. Well, that's actually not true. Our votes do count. But thank you very much for your message. So we've got a bit of time. We've got about 1 minute, 15 seconds. I think I can take a final call. Yeah? Let me take a final call. And then we'll bring you the news. 99.3, hello.
Hello, Sandra.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
Good evening.
Good evening. What's your name?
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Go ahead. You're live on the show.
Yeah, I'm very happy for this Anambra election. But what remains now is for the panel to declare the winner. We all know the winner. But my fear is that, you know, this Nigeria, they can manipulate things, especially the ruling party. So I don't want what happened in Imo State to happen also. So they should please announce it, the winner. That is my take. I don't want any delay. And I don't want confusion in Anambra.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for calling. Please announce the winner so that there's no confusion in Anambra, he says. Okay. Emmanuel Omoife on Facebook says, it's a gradual process. APC will be a thing of the past. We have... Just a lot of people who are saying hello. Well, hello, and thank you very much for being a part of the show. Thank you again to Ugochi Okunyemi and her husband, Shei Okunyemi, who sent me a tray of meat pie. I can't wait to eat it. Thank you very much. They run a bakery. It's called Best Bakery. It's in the Itire side of Surulere. Thank you guys so much. They sent it to me free of charge. So I'm so honored, and I can't wait to dig in. Thank you. I was asking for who made the best meat pies in Lagos, and they said, hey, we'll send you some free of charge. I like this life. Oh. Maybe I should say who sells the best cars in Lagos and see what happens. I don't know. What do you think? Let's bring you business news. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili.